Hello there, this is Scott McKay from XY Communications, and welcome to this audio program that I've titled Secrets to Getting Women to Contact You First. First of all, I want to be clear that nothing changes relative to what I've spoken about elsewhere in online dating domination. It is still absolutely best to take control and lead and write women first. There's several reasons for this. First of all, women prefer that. They see that as the natural order of the universe, that men take the lead and that they approach women. Second of all, and perhaps more importantly, they're more turned on by that. As I've noted elsewhere in my writings, part of how women's femininity is ignited by men, by masculinity, by our masculine nature, is that they follow our lead. When we lead, when we take initiative, when we're the bold ones instead of them having to be bold in their own right, that's when they physically, literally get turned on. It makes them wet. It makes them horny. Plus, you have a much better chance at meeting women you really want to meet if you take initiative. You see, that's the more practical side. Why not be the chooser? Why not actually get in front of the women you actually want to get in front of and meet? Have the choice. Meet the women you really want to meet and do it first. Now see, a lot of guys think that when they first sign up for online dating, they can sit back, relax, and just let their inbox fill up with all these messages from amazing horny women. That it'll be like shooting fish in a barrel, as it were. But you know, it's just not like that for the vast majority of men out there. In fact, I'll stop just short of saying it's not like that for any guy out there. I realize that you would like to know how to get women to write you first. You guys have been hammering me for this audio for years now, and I've been resisting it, knowing what the truth is about how women are turned on. But having thought about it, you know, there is a valuable skill to learn here. And that's how to understand that when women do write you first, they mean it. And also how to get some women, perhaps more women than might usually do so, to take the initiative and indeed write you first. It is kind of nice to have women write you first. So let's dive right into this. First of all, you can and likely will get women writing you first, at least ostensibly, at least on the surface, it'll look like that. What I'm implying there is that the first valuable skill above all to learn is how to weed out scammers. Now, we've talked about that elsewhere in the program, but it's worth addressing again with the specific focus of women contacting you first. Above all, remember what online dating scammers are preying on: loneliness and desperation. The desire to overcome that kind of pain is so powerful in many guys that scammers have a field day separating lonely, desperate people everywhere from their money. I recently read where a man in the UK actually fell victim to a scam online in the form of a supposed alleged woman that ended up costing him thousands. And then, just several months later, he fell for the same exact scam all over again. That shows you how powerful an effect these scams have on certain men. And they really work. A lot of scammers make a lot of money at the expense of lots of, well, very gullible, very desperate men. Personally, this is in my own coaching experience. I've had to break the news to guys on the phone that the so-called women, who they've been talking to for months or even years, just flat out weren't for real. I'll tell you, the only thing worse than that would be being a doctor and having to tell someone that they had a terminal illness. I've had guys literally break out in tears on the other side of the phone, realizing that they've spent a lot of energy, a lot of time, and yes, even a lot of money on what was merely a fantasy and that they'd been used. It's a terrible feeling. So how did I know that these guys were being scammed? How am I so sure that I can recognize what a scam looks like? Well, first of all, any woman who directs you to a third-party site where she's depicted pornographically, well, you can run away from that. Second, don't be blind to silly inconsistencies. If she claims to be born and bred in Nebraska, but her profile is written in broken English, that's a huge red flag, gentlemen. Look specifically for a lack of articles like the in the context of sentences, which is a key indicator that the writer's first language may be Russian. and former SSRs are massive hotbeds for online dating scammers. Next, if you feel a weird sense of deja vu when you see her very flattering pictures, that could be for good reason. Often scammers source pics from porn sites, and often they've thought this out incredibly well. As a matter of fact, let me share just one of their potential strategies with you. About 10 years ago, before there was a YouTube, a very popular form of porn online was for women who maybe were trying to put themselves through college or whatever to have their very own sites where they featured themselves, maybe had a photographer help them. Remember, this is before streaming video was really a powerful medium. It was just that not everybody had that kind of bandwidth. So small videos that you would download and watch later, or a series of thumbnail pics that kind of led to a conclusion, if you get where I'm going. Those were more popular forms of porn online back in the day because streaming video just really wasn't all that practical for all that many people. So what these girls did was they built sites, and every week they would release a pack of photos. And to get guys to subscribe and send them money for college, what they would do is they would post the first few photos in the series and maybe a teaser along the way, but the money photos, if you will, were hidden from view. And perhaps they would put kind of a storyline with it, like, "Hi, honey, I'm cooking you dinner," or something like that. So what you ended up having in the real world was a picture set of a woman, maybe 25 pictures. The first picture, she was dressed in a sundress, maybe waving to you and looking cute. And then maybe the next few pictures were a little bit more suggestive. Then she lifted up the skirt. Then the skirt came off. Then she's in her underwear. Then the bra comes off. Then the underwear comes off. And in the last pictures, she's playing with herself or using a dildo or something like that. There's a progression. But importantly, there were also multiple sets of pictures week after week. So for a scammer, nowadays, especially since that form of porn has kind of fallen out of vogue vis-a-vis the instant streaming of videos of all sorts on demand, they're taking all of these photo sets that they've downloaded, perhaps illegally or otherwise, definitely without copyright, and they're holding those in reserve. And what they're doing is on their online profile, they're putting the first couple pics from several different sets of that one girl online to make you think, yes, this is a real girl. And yes, look at all these different pictures of her in different situations. Then they write to you and tell you how much they like you and how handsome you are, get you roped in. And the next thing you know, she's agreeing to send you dirtier and dirtier pics. And it kind of goes on. And you have different pics and different situations coming from what seems to be the same girl. And I think you can see how it can be very convincing that you're actually talking to a real woman. But what she is a porn princess from the past in pictures, and there's no real woman behind these photos. You see? Isn't that crazy? But that's how it works. It's a brilliant strategy. You see, the before images of women from those thumbnail galleries come to you and seem like women next door, and then the naughtier ones come later. All in the name of really reeling in victims. Now, obviously, part of the genius of a scam like that is they're using pictures that are 10, 12, 15, possibly even 20 years old from the early days of the internet that most of their potential scam victims have probably never seen before because they're so old. Regardless, it should be obvious that if you plainly recognize the pics on a profile as being of a porn actress, you can be 99.9% sure that said porn actress isn't really online. It's a fake. And sometimes it's laughable, especially if you go to sites like Adult Friend Finder or Fling.com. Some of these scammers are so audacious that they actually use photos of famous porn actresses. I mean, that's about as easy to root out as you can possibly imagine. But, you know, some scammers are smarter than others. Next, here's another thing to figure out about scammers and how to root them out. Should you actually write a woman, be on the lookout for very early expressions of being a damsel in distress. For example, she may be stuck in Nigeria at a beauty pageant, etc. run away at the very suggestion that you send her money. And as a matter of fact, you can run away at any suggestion of Nigeria, because that's another hotbed for scammers. Scammers will also, for obvious reasons, avoid live meetings and even phone calls. While there's the occasional case that they may put up a woman who they're in cahoots with to actually talk to guys on the phone in hopes of establishing credibility in some way, you know, that's usually pretty rare. It takes a pretty sophisticated scam to do that. The Monty Teo case comes to mind, where he thought he had a real girlfriend there for a long time because he was talking to her, quote unquote, on the phone, et cetera, et cetera. You know, even though that case in and of itself was rather suspect, most scammers aren't going to be that elaborate simply because they don't have to be. The whole open loop of where is this woman? When am I going to get to talk to her? When am I going to get to see her? Is so profoundly powerful that in many ways, scammers are better off not talking to people on the phone, even through the voice of a quote unquote plant woman who they're putting on the phone to talk to guys to get them to believe in the scam. So avoiding live meetings and even phone calls is a major sign of a scam. My personal guideline has always been that if a woman employs stall tactics when it comes to phone calls or the first meeting, go ahead and call her out on it, specifically with the explanation that only scammers tend to refuse to talk on the phone, and that if she persists, you'll have no choice but to consider her profile a fake. Note that I'd simply leave it at that. There's no need for threats such as, you know, you're going to say you're going to report her to the site or worse to the authorities. You don't want to piss her off or scare her away by being unreasonable, should her online presence be genuine and in good faith. You simply want to get to the bottom of the matter so that you can move things along and either talk to her on the phone or move on to someone real instead. And make no mistake, some women really, for whatever reason, are reticent to talk to you on the phone or any other guy, and they may stall. So if you want to get them off of top dead center, as it were, and get them to talk to you on the phone, that's one strategy where you can really let the rubber meet the road and tell her, you know, this is basically how it's going to be. Believe me, the percentage of real live women who don't wake up when that sort of scenario is dropped on them, if it isn't 100%, it's darn close to it. Women don't want to be seen as a scammer. They don't want you to get the wrong idea. They probably, in their mind, had a perfectly good reason for taking things really slow, even though there is no perfectly good reason for not moving to the phone to talk to someone. They're just wasting their time and yours the more they drag things out if you're potentially not going to even get along when you meet each other. You can also summarily dismiss any sight unseen confessions of love and or wild, limitless attraction. Those are almost always fake, gentlemen. There's also ye old, distance shouldn't matter since I already feel in my heart you're the one for me. That sort of tactic has been seen all too often lately on Facebook in particular. And I'll tell you, if you're a lonely, desperate guy and all of a sudden a woman is making it apparently that easy for you to gain her affections, it can be really, really tempting. But it's a scam. It's going to lead to you giving her money or her wanting something from you that involves you being parted from your wallet. I'm telling you. Basically, there's a pattern to online dating scams, and it typically goes according to some or all facets of what I've just described. Rest assured, because there's a flow to it, it's not as overwhelming to sort out as it may sound at first. If you're new to online dating, it really will only take a short while for you to get the hang of it. But as such, it's important to really be on your guard as you ramp up your online dating skills early on. Finally, I do want to remind you that hookup sites like Adult Friend Finder, Fling.com, and others are replete with fake profiles and scammers who will attempt to take your money. There are also male imposters who might perhaps try to trick presumed same-sex sex addicts into meeting with them. Obviously, that situation can get ugly very quickly. The scam victim may be thinking he's going to be meeting a woman all along. And, you know, that makes for a potentially awkward and, well, ugly situation. As I've said before, if all you want is a quick fling, you're actually more likely to find a legitimately willing, real woman who breathes oxygen on a site like Match.com or OkCupid. The general guideline to keep in mind is this. Most women are really horny, but far fewer are willing or, dare I say, foolish enough to blatantly advertise it up front on a hookup site. Okay, so with that out of the way, Under what circumstances do real women email you first? And more importantly, how do you get them to do so? Well, right here at the outset, it's important to note that a wink really does equal her writing you first. They're the same thing for all intents and purposes here. You see, that's an initial indication of interest from a woman, and in all actuality, an expected one. Bear in mind that this quick hit of attention is coming from a woman who, by her very nature, would most likely rather prefer you to take the bull by the horns and lead with that first email. Now, guys make the mistake of thinking that a woman's wink is coming from a place of pure laziness, or that it's even an indicator of relatively low interest. But in reality, it's just as often as not an attempt to get you to notice her and write her first. So definitely treat a wink as a sign of interest initiated by the woman. Be careful here, however, as the reverse of this strategy may very well backfire because of those same dynamics of how male leadership affects women. That is, if you wink at a woman expecting her to write you back, then it's likely to make her think that you lack the guts to write her, or that, yep, you're the lazy one. Neither of those thoughts generates much intrigue, let alone attraction, right? Now, I realize this appears to be a double standard, and in fact, it really is. You'll avoid the trap of getting potentially bitter about it by recognizing that it's really all about how masculinity and femininity are designed to ignite each other. In the end, it all points to you having control over the interaction and women liking it that way. That's a good thing. This should occur to you in every single way as a positive arrangement and one that you should happily use to your advantage. By writing women first, you choose. You have the power, and women are literally turned on by that, as I alluded to before. It's a true win-win as long as you're willing to feel positively towards how the dance works. But what about when you get real, actual emails written from a woman? Well, first of all, let's discuss how to ID the women who are probably legit. For better or worse, it's a common truth that women who are not getting a lot of attention online will be the first to venture out on their own, contacting men first. Keep in mind here what loneliness and desperation tend to do to human beings, be they male or female. Compromise is a way of life under those circumstances, so women in that situation will bypass their preference to wait for a man to lead, all because they're so hungry for male attention. In other words, they're not getting the attention they crave in the preferred manner, so they're being more proactive despite it all. So then, yes, when you hear from women who are in the average to below average range with regard to how interesting they are to the majority of guys, it is indeed rather safe to assume those are real women expressing real interest. You see, scammers go for the most bang for their buck, and they prey on desperate obsession. Therefore, they generally don't pose as, well, average-looking women. The more desperate and needy a man is, the more he's going to hope against all odds that a woman who appears too good to be true will work out for him anyway. He literally gets hypnotized, mesmerized by that fantasy, and the scammer easily gets the desired result. And hey, it's also a rational fact that the higher the perceived value of the scammer's female persona in the potential victim's eyes, the more value that potential victim is going to throw at the situation. This translates to the scammer's raw power to demand higher sums of money from the victim while expecting absolute compliance. It's a scary thought, I know, but that's exactly how it works by design. So the bottom line remains that if you're hearing from women who would be considered average to below average to most guys, or significantly outside the scope of most men's tastes, their messages are probably legit. You're most likely hearing from real women. Now, I fully acknowledge that most of you aren't interested in average to below average women. And yes, I've gone on record previous times as recommending against interacting with average women in an effort to quote unquote warm up or practice, all because those women sense when you're not all that interested, and they're therefore likely to actually show you less interest in return than women who are more in your league would. You may even occur to them as too good to be true, causing them to write you off immediately. See how that works? What's good for the goose is good for the gander, gentlemen. But that said, I also recognize that some of you have unique tastes in women. If you fit that description, I'd consider it a safe bet that if women who fit your type write you, then you can feel free to take the message seriously, barring obvious signs of fraud as I described earlier. Consider yourself fortunate, actually, because you've got an even smoother road to online dating success than most guys would. The women you want most are less popular online, therefore you're more likely to reach out to each other. This is a win-win of its own kind in its own right. But of course, most of us are either blessed or cursed, depending on how you see it, with a taste for women that a lot of other guys out there share. That means more guys going after a relatively smaller number of women. Rest assured, you can still easily beat out the competition. After all, that's the whole overarching theme of this program at large. And amazingly, there are still situations where you may get messages from very attractive women, even if you haven't particularly done much on purpose to make it happen. One common example is that oftentimes women will try a paid site like Match.com for a month or so and get frustrated with the lack of quality guys they've heard from. When they're approaching the end of their paid month, they may actually proactively write to the guys who they would have liked to have heard from, oftentimes even saying out loud that their subscription is ending and that you're the one who interested them. This sort of thing is typically legitimate, guys. Simply write her back and move to the phone quickly. See if she's interesting to you and plan the first meeting. It should actually be more simple and easier to move the process along anytime a woman reaches out to you first. Think about it. There's less involved in establishing comfort and earning trust because this was all her idea to begin with. She feels the risk of failure and rejection at that point more than you do, right? Another good indication that a real woman is contacting you is that her email reads like it's written by a fun, bold, confident, and outgoing woman who would seem to be the type to make a first move. You see that? While you may see a sheepish or even apologetic tone to an ice-breaking email from a woman here and there, that's a lot less likely to happen. Bold personalities do bold things, and it's perfectly reasonable for you to want to make sure the numbers match, as it were, when dealing with women you've never met before, just like women look for when dealing with men. So her personality, what she's doing, how she comes off, it all has to add up to make you feel more comfortable that you're indeed dealing with a real woman. Now see, one reason why I feel particularly comfortable with what I just said is that scammers are typically located outside of the US and therefore they're just not sophisticated enough in their recognition of North American or Western European social patterns and communication styles to deliver upon the subtleties of posing as a legitimately bold, confident, but classy feminine woman. There are just too many nuances there that are too tricky to fake. Yet a woman who is the real deal will naturally, consistently, and dare I say, effortlessly come off as genuine. Think about that notion a bit and you'll know what I mean. You may also get women who tell you that your profile is particularly good and it really grabbed their attention, therefore they're complimenting you on it. This is also to be taken as interest, and yes, you can take it seriously in most cases. If you think about it, this is pure genius on a woman's part, even if unconsciously so. You see, complimenting a guy on his profile is a safe, indirect way for a woman to open the lines of communication without actually going out on a limb and saying she's already interested and attracted. Voila! This is, in her mind at least, still counting as opening the door to let you make the first real move, as it were. Think of it as an expanded wink, if you will, for lack of a better description. Implicit here is the basic truth. The first and best way to get women to connect with you first is to have a creative and engaging profile. Now, obviously, I've given you a mountain of ways to bring that about with a positive, charming, and comfort-inspiring flair elsewhere in online dating domination. Suffice it to say here, though, that men with boring, generic profiles that play it safe, as it were, from a content perspective, get far fewer initiations of contact from women. It's true. Creativity and uniqueness inspire more initiative from all kinds of women. That's a fact, and it's an extra perk of having a profile that truly stands out in a positive way. Another way to get women to contact you first is to issue a call to action to that effect directly in your profile. Now, this may seem obvious, but go ahead and do some research of your online competition, and you'll quickly notice that almost no other guys do this. That said, I do believe there is a very clear secret to getting this strategy dialed in perfectly. That is to be direct and positive, for starters. You need to tell her in plain English that you want her to write you and that you'd like it if she did. That alone would get you better results than the average Joe. But, of course, I'm all about going above and beyond. I prefer to equip you such that women will all but drop everything to type out a message to you immediately. So, with that in mind, try this. Perhaps say near the end of your profile something like, "Now listen, just because you haven't heard from me yet doesn't mean you wouldn't blow me away. Computers aren't perfect, so what if an amazing woman like you hasn't been showing up in my search results? Here's what I say. Don't chance it. Don't be shy. Drop me a note and simply say hello. Don't worry. I know how to lead like a man, so I'll take it from there and sweep you off your feet." Huh. I like it. There's a lot going on there, and much of it is more subtle than what it may appear to be saying on the surface. So let's break down what a paragraph like that does, shall we? First, it empowers women to write you first without fear that you'll think less of them for it. That's very important. Second, it clues them in that you would write them first, but perhaps haven't even seen them yet online. All as you conveniently and elegantly, I might add, offload the blame for that onto a non-human, that is, the computerized system that is the dating site's algorithm. That takes her female impulse to wait on you off the table, along with any weird power struggle factor or whatever that might come along with it, you see? Instead of merely sitting back and expecting women to approach you first, like a rookie, you're reminding her that she has before her what may be the only chance for the two of you to ever meet. Now see, the beauty of this is that you're actually turning the fact that she's happened across your profile into the actual movie moment itself. Why would she want to let such serendipity slip into oblivion when there was such potential for a storybook ending? Aha, now see, you could even word your call to action in such a way as that, should your personality be able to carry it. Another beautiful thing about this call to action is that it makes good sense, all in a way that a woman may not have even considered before. I mean, computers really aren't perfect, are they? The fact of the matter is that the possibility is very real that she may not even be showing up in your search results. Essentially, you're empowering her to contact you, yet in a way that still puts you in the leadership role. You sacrifice nothing as a man with such an invitation or exhortation, if you will. It's beautiful. Let's not overlook yet another benefit to this sort of call to action. You're literally making it fall out of bed easy for her to get over any potential writer's block she may have. Believe me, women find it no easier to figure out what to write than any of us do. By keeping it simple and telling her what to write to you, for example, "Drop me a note and simply say hello," that's enough. By saying that, you've given her a direct instruction for her to follow, and you've removed the potential obstacle of guesswork on her part. That's perfect. And finally, you plant in her mind what the payoff will be for her writing you. You're offering a tangible reward in the form of taking the lead like an attractive man and promising to, quote-unquote, sweep her off her feet. Low risk on her part, but high potential for a reward. Believe me, this fairy tale language is powerful with women, but as I've just showed you, you can pull it off without looking like a wuss. You can position the whole fantasy in a manner similar to what I've described and have it read like a man's thoughts. Now, another brilliant way to make women write you first is to have a profile picture or two that demands an explanation. Guys, this is pure gold because it plays on human nature. Whether male or female, once we're intrigued, we practically need to find out the answer to the mystery at hand. It's sort of a variation on ye olde Zeigarnik effect, which talks about human beings having a psychological need to close open loops. But nevertheless, too many guys put generic pictures up there that are either dead simple to figure out or worse, tell no story at all. Putting an intriguing picture on your profile is one thing, but the problem is that even then, most people, women included, write a caption telling the story. The genius strategy here would be to post a picture with something curious going on and then give no explanation of it at all, resisting the urge to provide that caption. See, if you're looking for an example of how the psychology at play works here, look no further than those Dos Equis' Most Interesting Man in the World commercials. He's always doing something weird, exotic, or amazing, but never with any elaboration at all. And that's the secret to creating the interest, to creating the intrigue. Now, while I'd avoid depicting anything that's creepy, scary, or off-putting, you might, for example, take down that picture of you standing in front of the Eiffel Tower and instead post one of you in a less recognizable part of Paris, France, thereby tempting women to write you and ask where the picture was taken. You see that? Now, I have an all-time favorite example attesting to the power of this. I have a 10-plus one-on-one coaching customer who happens to be a fighter pilot. That's a pretty cool thing to be. Now, he had pictures of him standing next to his plane. He was talking about being a fighter pilot, yada, 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 and he wasn't really getting the responses from women that he was looking for. He thought I was crazy, but he followed my suggestion, which was very counterintuitive to what he figured would work. I had him take one single picture, which happened to have been of him sitting in the cockpit of his F-16 with his helmet off, and I had him crop it about as closely as possible, just so you could barely see the edge of the fuselage of that F-16 with his name written on it. And you could just barely tell that there was an open canopy of a fighter just above him and showing him with his outfit on and the windshield just barely noticeable in front of that picture. It was mostly a headshot with just bare minimal indication there was an airplane involved. And I had him mention nothing else or put any other pictures, even remotely hinting that he was a fighter pilot anywhere else in his profile. And you know what? It paid off. Women started writing him going, "My goodness, is that an airplane you're sitting in?" And they knew he was a fighter pilot, but he didn't have to go on and on about it. You see? Now, you may not be a fighter pilot, but along similar lines, you can also make very subtle allusions to the most badass aspects of yourself and/or what you do in the written context of your profile and expect just as powerful results. You see, the big mistake most guys make is clubbing women over the head repeatedly with what they deem to be most impressive about themselves, be that their education, their profession, their accomplishments, or their abs. But the psychological effect of doing that is the same for both men and women, actually. At best, you come off as if trying too hard, which is an established turnoff. You look neither secure nor confident that way, which causes women to feel you may not be an effective protector or provider. At the very worst, you look like a total douche who's cramming your self-perceived greatness down everyone's throat, which of course is never popular. All of this goes double if you're pointing to mere possessions, because that comes off as a lack of confidence in being able to carry the attraction process yourself without the help of external props to increase your perceived value. Ouch, right? So what in the world am I talking about doing here then? Well, I suspect it'll help if I give you a couple more examples. Before I jump into those, a caveat. Bear in mind here that I'm going to reach for easy examples that are easy to understand. So please don't draw any negative conclusions if you feel you don't relate specifically to any of them in particular. You've got positive uniqueness that applies specifically to you, and that's what you should run with for sure. So there's never any need to be inauthentic. So here goes. Let's say, for example, you're a medical doctor. Knowing that some women might like medical doctors, if you're like most guys online, your impulse would be to talk about your medical degree and make several other references to being a doctor. You may even post a picture of yourself in scrubs. But the more effective strategy would be to simply list your profession as medical field and your education level as doctorate. That would be all you need to get women naturally thinking that, hey, you're a doctor, all without the negative ramifications of trying to push your ego or being douchey or anything like that. And yes, in case you're wondering, women are that observant. Let me spell it out for you. Most of us as guys simply don't trust the high quality women we're looking for to pick up on the subtleties that indicate who we are and what we're about. Because of that, we feel compelled to overwhelm them with evidence of what we want them to know about us, and then remind them a couple of dozen more times. What I'm advocating is that you relax in the subtle indication and trust that women will be all over it. That trust is rewarded with the simple prize of them not seeing you as an insecure, approval-seeking douchebag. Now, even if women don't pick up on the subtlety for some reason, you'll still be pleased by the stunningly positive reaction of those who do, as opposed to the nearly universal eye-rolling of all the women who will summarily ignore you should you try to push the issue too hard. So, how about some more examples? Let's say you're a world traveler, or a best-selling author, or even a lion tamer at the circus. You're best off casually mentioning one reference to whatever it is, and the indirect route is almost always better. For example, you might say, after spending my working hours with my head in a lion's mouth, it's a good thing to enjoy a high-quality woman's company. Or you might say, while some dream about seeing the world, I've arranged things in my life such that it actually happens. Then shut up about it. Leave that room for the all-important intrigue. Make it so she practically has to ask you about it. Now, going along with this particular idea, consider this. Most guys have one major hobby they love. Well, either that or they're really addicted to their work, right? But being a multidimensional Renaissance man is always more intriguing, and yes, it's always more attractive. Nevertheless, a shockingly high percentage of men's profiles harp on and on about one thing they're passionate about. And half the time, their passion is even of questionable value to women anyway. For example, one of the things I do for fun is I collect beer glasses with breweries' logos on them. I particularly love acquiring glasses that are collected from actual bars, having been in actual use, and the more exotic a part of the world they're from, the better. But if I were to post my profile on an online dating site today, I'd know better than to go on and on about my beer glass collection in it. Women would not be more attracted to me because I talked about my beer glass collection even once, let alone elaborating at length about it. Anything that's perceived to give you status, show ambition, or demonstrate genuine accomplishment would be what you'd want to make subtle reference of. Anything that's widely considered to be a time killer, like video games, for example, points to possible red flags, like maybe talking about being a whiskey connoisseur or something like that, or comes off as even a bit eccentric, should be avoided. I once encountered a guy's profile that spent considerable time talking about how fascinated he was by Vikings. He was dressed like one in his primary photo. Suffice it to say, he wasn't likely to get much interest from women unless they too happened to be obsessed with Viking stuff, which is a long shot. Guys, hold the weird collections and hobbies in reserve until after you've met her and created attraction. Oddly, women can handle just about anything in that regard after they know you, like you, feel comfortable with you, and are attracted. But on the other hand, crowing about your somewhat eccentric interests and hobbies will probably get women to do the exact opposite of writing you first. These days, Emily takes great pride in helping me score some cool beer glasses when we travel, and then wrapping them up so that they make it home safely. But you know what? It's true. If you were to ask her if it would have been meaningful to her to have me talk about my beer glass collection in my online profile, she'll readily agree that she wouldn't have been impressed and that it might have been a little weird, possibly even pointing to me having a drinking problem. You see, it's all about context, and it's a must to remember at all times that your profile and your initial email comprise a first impression. You're attempting to connect with and eventually communicate with a woman who doesn't know you yet. It's really as simple as that, gentlemen. That means it's extra important to spot and recognize the difference between being intriguing enough to attract versus eccentric enough to scare women away. Basically, it comes down to this. Is what you're subtly hinting at in your profile something that women are potentially hot for, or is it something that is either scary, weird, or boring to them? That's the litmus test. Always keep the big four in mind. Are you coming off as masculine? Are you coming off as confident? Is what you're hinting at going to make her feel more comfortable around you potentially, or less so? And importantly, are you implying that you're of good, solid character with what you're hinting at? Another way to potentially increase women rating you first is to use scarcity. Go ahead and mention that you don't expect to be online for very long. This makes a woman think that if she doesn't write you first, she may miss out. Some other woman's going to get to you before she does. You don't have to go on and on about this, of course. A simple statement sends the right psychological message. You don't even really need to elaborate, giving reasons why or whatever. The less you write about how little time you're going to be online, the better. Again, there's that element of intrigue creeping in there again too, right? And you can and should come off as busy and popular, but not in a douchey way, of course. You might, for example, say something to the effect of, "I'm all about meeting a great woman like you. Let's be honest, however. I've got a life, so I'm not spending hours per day on this site. That means there's a chance I might somehow not see your profile in the search results. Go ahead and write me so that we don't miss out on each other." Now, I'm sure you'll note that that's in fact a bit of a twist on that very same theme I told you about before of inviting a woman to write you first because the computer algorithm cannot be trusted to ensure serendipity. In fact, you may elaborate with something like this. "My social life is already quite fulfilling, so I'm not one to spend lots of time here online. That means if you found my profile and you think we'd get along, go ahead and write me. I wouldn't want to miss out on a great woman like you." You see a common theme here regardless, right? You're making that one woman right then and there who's reading your profile feel as if she might be your destiny. And the shining moment is hers to act on to make sure the two of you connect. Believe me, if you've ever even seen one romantic comedy movie in your entire life, you already know that this mindset is like catnip to women. Seriously, even if women want to date around and not have a serious relationship right now, they still want to see any particular guy they meet as a special someone who they're connecting with one-on-one. Now, as a brief aside there, guys, we do well to treat women like they're the only woman in our lives whenever we're with them. No phone calls to or from other women while we're with a woman. No texting, and above all, no references to some other date you went on earlier in the week, etc. That's golden advice, and it will always pay off. Note the difference there between simply focusing your attention on her in the moment together versus, say, professing exclusivity and your undying eternal love. It's more about giving her your undivided attention right then and there. Actions in the present moment, not words and promises about the future. Be careful to make that distinction. Now, back to the point at hand. If you really are busy and popular, that's likely to contribute to the perceived veracity that, hey, you really aren't going to be around that dating site for very long. Ultimately, that all collectively contributes to her urgency to contact you first, especially since you've set up the whole scenario so romantically and with such masculine leadership. It's practically irresistible. Now, it's perhaps subtle, but keep in mind that you've actively suggested that she write you. Women do follow a man's lead, and you're indeed leading. You'd be amazed how many women will write you first, guys, simply because you told her to do so in your profile. That's all they really needed. That was all the impetus that was required. The rest is gravy from there. It's just like the truth that many women will go out with you simply because you made the suggestion that they do so. It works almost magically, fueled by masculine confidence. Now, here's yet another tactical way to get women to write you first. If you have the option to let women see when you viewed their profile, go ahead and activate that. Sometimes women will feel empowered to write guys who've looked at their profiles, just like we feel empowered when she's been looking at us. Then again, hey, if you're looking at her profile, why not just write her yourself? That's the very best strategy, as I've said from the very beginning. But, you know, the opposite is true, too. Be sure to activate being able to see who viewed your profile also. Sometimes a quick note to the effect of, hey, I see you viewed my profile. Don't be shy. Let's talk. I promise that I don't bite, at least not very hard. Something like that can work wonders. It's all you need to get the ball rolling. Now, sure, you're writing her first, but it's based on her initial interest, so you've got that added level of confidence going for you, right? Now that we've come to the close of this particular audio, it's time for me to deliver some amazing news to you. Importantly, all of the strategies I've given you here today can be stacked for maximum effect. That's right. You can use them all in tandem with each other. There's no need to pick and choose. Put every single one of them into effect for maximum shock and awe, closely followed by mind-blowing improvements to your online dating fortunes. As you can see, it really is easy to maximize the probability that high-quality women write you first. By all means, you still need to be proactive, and I'll never stop recommending that you indeed choose the women you enter into contact with yourself. That always ensures that you're interacting with and meeting the women you really want. Nevertheless, I have to admit, it's always a great feeling to have women show that they want you too by reaching out to you first. It's a great confidence booster, regardless of whatever else comes out of it. So use what you've heard in this audio program to get wise about avoiding scammers, know the reasons why women might contact you first, and then leverage every advantage and strategy I've given you to increase your online dating enjoyment and success. Until I talk to you again, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications, and you're listening to Online Dating Domination. Be good out there.